Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start our worship service, so I'm going to ask you all to stand if it's convenient for you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm bound in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your glorious name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
All righty. Welcome again, everyone, to...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Baptist Church. Lonnie Moon. Someone going to, oh, there we go. It's looking right over you, sorry.
I have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. These are in the back. They're on the table also with the Gideon's mission offering. So Mr. Mike wanted us to have this friendly competition to see which could do better. So you know you want to do both, really. But just pray about it, and whatever God leads your heart to do, that would be fabulous. These little brochures back there are awesome. They give you some ideas each day of the week of prayer, of things to pray about. You can even, which I thought was kind of cool, I was reading, you can even get on here and sign your email up to give you daily reminders for the week of prayer to pray for the mission board. And This is for international missions. So it actually starts, the week of prayer starts next Sunday. So I'll be reminding everybody of that. But there are little envelopes inside. So if you want to contribute, we would love that. And you can just put your money or your check in this and leave it in the offering plate in the back. And we have a short video, if y'all don't mind. So just pray about it, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For giving.
For giving.
Thank you for your giving.
To the Lottie Moon offering.
Toward Lottie Moon.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
But most importantly, due to your generosity, we've been able to share God's word with those around us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, First Baptist Church of Newark Baptist Church in Riverside, California.
Because you gave, I am able to access remote areas of Central Asia and explain the gospel with people God is already drawing to himself. With your help, we are bringing light to the dark places among unreached people groups.
Because of what you've given, it allows me to share this gospel with as many Central Asians as I can across London.
Your giving allows our organization to provide need for refugees and to give them hope.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering so that we can buy Bibles in Arabic that we use with our Discovery Bible study with non-believers.
Because of your generosity, African women are hearing stories from God's word while henna is being drawn on their hands and arms.
And because of your giving, the life changes that we see through faith in Jesus Christ, that happens because of your gifts.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and helping to provide this wonderful water filter here in northern Thailand.
Your giving allows me to continue with my medical license here in Ghana, where I can not only do surgeries, but also the patients have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So thank you.
Because of your giving, I'm able to speak to these 1,000 kids every Wednesday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, First Baptist Church.
Thank you, Faith Promise Church.
Thank you, Stephen Baptist Church.
Thank you for giving to Lottie Moon.
Thank you, and God bless you.
All righty, is there any more announcements? Okay. Let's pray and just ask God to bless this worship service. Our God and Father, Lord, we thank you for this day and your blessings and grace and mercy. And God, I just pray for this service today. God, go with Brother Tim. And God, I just pray for him and the words that you have put on his heart. And God, may we just be a sponge and soak everyone up. And God, just give him the courage to say what he needs to say. And God, I pray for Pastor Lanny and Gwen, I pray for their health, and God, just the health of this church, the ones that are out today for whatever reason, God, if they're traveling or sick, God, just be with them and be with their families during this holiday week. It's your son's holy name we pray, amen. Let's all stand, and we're going to count your blessings.
1, 2, 3, 4. When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. All you have burdened with a load of care, does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your see what God hath done. When you look at others with a load of ground, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
In that same tone, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. As the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing. But they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing in how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. Well, there's a roof up above me. I've a place to sleep. There's food on the table and shoes on my feet. Give me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new, and I don't have much money. Lord, I have you. To me, that's all that matters. And though the world may not see, well, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. All through the Psalms, especially Psalm 100, it says, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, for his love endures forever. I'm going to get this room down. All right. Thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. He is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
lives with us forever, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Last time. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise.
This morning. This next song just reminds us of no matter where you are, God is always there for you. Come as you come out of sadness from wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. What a great line. Earth has no sorrow that God cannot heal. It's called Come As You Are. Sadness from wherever you've been. Well, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Well, all who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, well, lay down your heart, and come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has
has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Just lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Well, all who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, well, lay down your heart, and come as you sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, so lay down your shame. All who are broken,
good morning. Are you receiving me? Be in prayer this morning for our pastor, his wife, Bill Howe. I think he has been diagnosed with COVID, from what I understand. Miss Kim, she's down with the croup. Don't know exactly what it is yet, but be in prayer for those who are sick, and there are plenty that are out and sick, so be in prayer about that. I've titled this message, Thank You. Sounds pretty simple. Seems like something we should all want to be a part of and all appreciate. But we're going to talk about what it means to give thanks today. And I know with the current circumstances and with all that's going on in people's lives, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find reason to be thankful. But this morning, I pray that I can encourage you and give you many reasons to be thankful. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you so much. I want a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. And God, I know that that comes from a genuine place. That doesn't come from a place where I have to conjure it up or fake it. God, you are so good. And your goodness endures forever. God, we pray for those who are out today, those who are sick. God, we just lift them up with your healing hand. Place your hands upon them. Lord, be with me during this message. Help me to preach boldly. God, just coordinate and animate me with your spirit. I love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there is a lot going on today. Isn't this a different day than what it was a year ago? Things have changed, haven't they? 2020 has been a challenge. It's been a challenge for many and in many ways. But there's also, there's other things going on. You know, with this pandemic, as well as this crisis in our election, with people staying home, there's other things, right? There's hidden things like depression, substance abuse. There's all kinds of things going on. And there's difficult situations all around us. You know them. You've seen them. Maybe it's happened to you or you've been a part of it. And here comes Thanksgiving, a season of thankfulness. So the world seems so dire with all that's going on in it. And the question is, do we have anything to be thankful for? I mean, if you just look at the circumstances, right? If you look at the circumstances in our world and ponder them in a worldly way, in a worldly manner, you might draw a blank if I were to ask you, are you thankful? We hear sermons about being thankful, and we desire to be thankful, but when we sit around the table and spout off all that we're thankful for, would it be fabricated? Would it be less than authentic? Would it be conjured up as we try to drum up some things to be thankful for? Just to be clear, the Bible doesn't tell us to be thankful for these circumstances. It says to be thankful in these circumstances. I believe the Bible and the gospel message gives great motivation for authentic thankfulness. If we miss the invitation, however, that's offered by God, we might miss the motivation for our thankfulness altogether. It isn't a fake it till you make it. It isn't a phony thankfulness. We're never instructed to have an artificial attitude of thankfulness. Why? Why? Because I believe that embedded inside this gospel message and wrapped up in our Christianity is a real motivation for thankfulness. Amen? This is a genuine heart of gratitude and a thankfulness that's being motivated by a true joy and a true appreciation for what God has done. So let's discuss this inspiration for a real Thanksgiving and see if it bears witness to something worth being thankful for. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who are asleep sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let's be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So notice here, he's talking about two different people groups. He's talking about what I call the saved and the depraved. And everyone sitting in here fits in one of those two categories. Every one of us fits in one of these two categories. One group headed for destruction, the other group experiencing salvation. Now, he's talking about things happening at night and after dark and soberness and drunkenness. And it's not necessarily speaking exactly about alcohol here. While you could use it that way, he's talking about something much deeper. A spiritual drunkenness, a spiritual unawareness, a spiritual complacency, a cognizance of where we are spiritually, a state of spiritual soberness. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I believe this is the number one reason we have church. This is the number one reason we attend in a building. And it's not about the attendance and an attendance record in a building. This is about us being the church, coming together and encouraging one another in these truths. Why do we need to do that? Because we oftentimes forget, don't we? It's easy to forget what God has done. It's easy to forget where we came from. It's easy to forget, you know, the goodness of God without encouraging one another and building one another up in this. Notice God, He did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Notice we're not appointed to experience God's wrath. Others, however, have an appointment. Sadly, there is an appointment. And they are appointed to meet God's wrath. Remember the two people groups. This is one reason I believe Christians struggle to be thankful. They're thinking about God being angry or at least very disappointed in their behavior or their performance or that they're not doing enough, they're not being enough. Perfect love casts out fear, doesn't it? That's what the Bible says. Perfect love casts out fear. And it says in John, it says, 1 John, it says, you fear because you're imagining some sort of punishment. How many in here, with a show of hands, have imagined some sort of punishment when it comes to God? We're a rare breed. There's three of us. There's four. And we imagine these things. And he says, but wait a minute. He's telling you. He said, perfect love casts out fear. You don't need to be afraid. Because fear has to do with punishment. And you're imagining some sort of punishment. Well, if I'm not going to be punished, somebody has to be punished. My sin has to be punished and dealt with accordingly, doesn't it? Somebody has to be punished. I'm not going to go any further than that right there. I hope I don't have to explain myself any further. But I think this is a reason that many Christians have struggles being thankful because they're imagining some sort of punishment. The one thing that you could do to make God angry is sin. And what did He do with that? The Bible says He took our sins away. The one thing that would frustrate God is your sin. And He chose to forgive them all. This is grace. So we're to build each other up in this truth. Amen? Build each other up in this. We all need to be reminded and to remind each other of this. This doesn't make me want to go sin more. This makes me want to praise Jesus more. It makes me want to praise Him more. Verse 12. Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge. You notice who he's talking to here. Brothers and sisters in Christ. To acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Take care of your pastor. That's what this says. Take care of your pastor. Take care of your church administration. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. So here we have Paul giving the Thessalonians instruction on Christian living. In other words, Paul's saying, work out your salvation. Work out what God has already worked in. This faith expressing itself in love. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, I wish I could just figure out what God's will is for me in my life. I just wish I could just solve the mystery of God's will and what He wants for me. And it's so complicated and it's so high and lofty, I'll probably never figure it out. God's will is just, it's beyond reason and it's just beyond understanding. It's just such a mystery. I'm being facetious. What is the will of God? It's such a mystery. It says this, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The world, it throws some terrible circumstances at us, doesn't it? The world throws, it comes at us 100 miles an hour. And many Christians, here's the problem, many Christians are thinking that their circumstances are about God orchestrating some sort of a lesson to teach them. Think about how neurotic this really is. Could you imagine putting your child through some sort of tragedy and sitting back and watching and saying, well, let's just see how they handle this. As if there's some sort of a lab experiment and rats going through a maze. You know, are they going to choose right or wrong? And let's see how this affects them or how that affects them. Let's just see. Let's just do this social experiment to see how our children handle this tragedy. Let's give them cancer. Let's have them lose a loved one. Or let's get them in a car wreck. You see how neurotic that really is to think that way about God? And yet many do this. Many see God in this light. You see why there's struggles to find reasons to be thankful when we start seeing God in that light? Some believe that they're being tested by God in every turn and every fork in the road. Some believe, you know, it's the same thing as reading the tea leaves or skywriting in the sky, you know, trying to figure out what decision to make. I call it Christian karma. That's what I call it, and many fall victim to it. Our circumstances do not determine what God thinks of us, contrary to popular belief. Many people are in dire circumstances. Many people are going through tragedy. That is not an indicator of what God thinks of them. God wants to be with us through those circumstances, doesn't He? It isn't always about God teaching you a lesson. It would be challenging to give thanks in all circumstances if we truly believe that God was responsible for those things. Many look at Christianity through this kind of lens. It creates confusion. It creates chaos in the heart of the believer. They give God credit for something Satan has done. Oh, this is God and He's mad at me. Oh, God's paying me back. God's punishing me. Your punishment, if you're a Christian, was put on the cross. Amen? Or am I speaking out of turn, or is that in the Bible? How about we stick with what's in here? That's what it says. Your punishment was put on Him. He who knew no sin became sin. Amen? Do you think God is inviting us to more stress and more anxiety when we come to faith in His Son? Is that what it is? Do you think He's wanting to add more burden to us? To make our life more miserable? Is that it? It's a big test, right? Or is He a God that wants to invite us in to be a part of His family as a son or as a daughter? And He wants to take us in, and He wants to be a part of our life, every intimate detail of our life. And He wants to go with us through those circumstances. You may not have faced a tough tragedy or a tough circumstance. You may not be there yet, but I promise you it's coming. I promise it's coming. Don't blame God. A good friend of mine, his father fell off of a ladder, and I went with him to the hospital to see him. His family was there, and some of the church elders and church body were there from his church. His dad was laying in a hospital bed. His head was as big as a beach ball. His pastor told him, later that night after his father had passed, his pastor told him he didn't have enough faith. Your family didn't have enough faith. That's why he died. Guys, this is rampant. This kind of talking and this kind of idea about God is rampant. Do you see why many people aren't interested in coming to church or being a part of God? Because we've portrayed God in this light. It's tragic that we're inviting people to more burden and some sinister, neurotic relationship with a God who is out to get them. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, think about this. God takes His own Son, who was flawless and perfect, never sinned a day in His life, and He puts Him on a cross for you. Through a miserable beating and a death for you. Is that a God who's out to get you? Watch out, God's going to get you. God is for you. He came in the form of humanity so He could understand and know what you're going through. And not only that, so you could understand that He knows. He knows, doesn't he? He knows about that illness. He knows about that struggle. He knows about that turmoil. He knows about that chaos in your life. He knows. He knows because he's been there. He came in the form of a human. He had a human heart and human flesh. And he bled human blood so he could sympathize with us, so he could have compassion on us, so he can walk with us through those times. Not sit back and say, well, let's see how they handle this test. God is for you. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. We must test all we hear against the backdrop of truth, whether it be from somebody standing here or out at the workplace or on Facebook. We must test all that we hear against the backdrop of truth. The litmus test for truth is this. This is truth. The Bible is truth. The Spirit of truth lives in us. Amen? Verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you and is faithful, and he will do it. Who sanctified? Look at it closely. Who did it? How did he do it? How much? Who did it and how much? Through and through. I don't know what that means exactly. It sounds pretty thorough. It sounds pretty complete. Amen? All the way, through and through. Whose faithfulness is this about? Who is it? Where am I at? What do I do? What am I supposed to do? Where's the instructions? Look who's taking care of this. Look who's taking care of it. The very last words, he will do it. He will. He began a good work in you, and he will carry it to completion. Amen? I'm still learning, aren't you? Are you still learning? I'm still learning. There is a growth. There is a process. There is a progression. We continue to learn and grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But as far as sanctification, it's done. It's finished. It's a finished work. He did it. Who did it? He did it. So we're a people now of God's own possession. We're set apart, sanctified, set apart, a people of his own possession by his doing, by something he did. This is how Satan messes with us. This is how we lose our motivation to be thankful in life. This is how the Christian life gets watered down and we start trying to figure out, why isn't this working out? Why isn't this Christian life working out for me? We lose our motivation to be thankful when we believe it's up to us and it's by our doing to be sanctified, to be justified, to be made right with God. It's up to us to do that. What a tragedy that we would invite people to that. It's a hopeless life of disappointment. It's a house of cards. It's a straw man. It doesn't hold up, does it? It falls on its face rather rapidly when we try to do this on our own. Verse 25, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. You might want to hold off on that one right now. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Always an emphasis on grace. Always. The introduction to the letter and the conclusion of the closing of the letter. Always. Grace and peace. Always. That's the emphasis. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. We'll just keep going here. 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. It says, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. Thank God for the church. Thank God for others. Thank God. Look around you. Look at these folks around you. Thank God for these folks around you. Thank God for our church leaders. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your kids, your wife. Thank God for the other believers in your life. Thank God for your church. Verse 5. All this is evidence. All what's evidence? Right here, your faith is growing more and more, and the love you have for one another is increasing. That's evidence that God's judgment is right. As a result of you, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. When will God pay back those who trouble us? How long until vengeance is had? How long will evil prevail without reckoning? Have you ever wondered this? How long will they get by with this? I mean, with all that's going on in the world today, I know you've got somebody you can think of, and you're like, how are they? God, what are you doing? When are you going to stop this? God, help. What's going on? How long will this corruption go on? Have you ever wondered? Possibly has someone doing something evil to you or sinister to you or your family? Maybe you were hurt by someone. Maybe you see all the corruption, the child sex trafficking, the abortion, the sex trade, the dishonesty, the corruption. Does it have you wondering how long, God, until you exercise your wrath? How long, Lord? How long will you allow this to go on? How long will they get by with murder and corruption, killing millions of babies and selling their body parts? It's tragic what we've done in America. How long? How patient are you? How patient is our God? Why we desire wrath and judgment on people. He's a patient God, isn't he? Wishing that none should perish. None should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. This will happen. He tells when this is going to happen. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. You see the implication here? There's no turning back. There's no going back and making it right. There's no second chance. This is everlasting. It's final. And he will shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his people and to be marveled at among those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony about you. And I think he's saying this to you as well. This includes you. This includes you. If you're a believer, it's talking about the last day, isn't it? There will be a last day. Guys, there will be a last day. There will be a last sunrise. There will be a last time you get up and make your bed, if you still do that. There will be a last time you brush your teeth. There will be a last breakfast, maybe. There will be a last time you get in your car. There will be a last day. There's a day coming that will be the very last. Amen? And it's final. Let that soak in for just a second. There's going to be a day that comes, and it will be the very last one. And we, as Christians, should be groaning, awaiting, and wanting that day to come. We should be praying for that day to come. Amen? We should be looking forward to that day. These are those who have rejected God's Son and by doing so have rejected God's love. But as for those who have believed, he comes to be glorified in us and marveled at by us. Can you imagine as Jesus comes from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels? Guys, Hollywood, Universal Studios ain't got nothing. Special effects? Uh-uh. You think we're the underdog here? Does that sound like we're the underdog? No. No, we are not. Verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and for every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his power. You see that? It's by his power. You see the dependency? The total dependency on God to make us worthy. Even our faith is apportioned by Him. Everyone is given a portion of faith according to Him. It all comes from Him, our salvation, our justification, our righteousness, our forgiveness, our sanctification, even our faith, as He is the author and perfecter of it. It's all from Him. See, many have been trying to conjure up Christianity rather than let it flow from a place of gratitude, a place of thanksgiving. The abundant Christian life is a byproduct of what has taken place inside the heart of the believer. But Satan has done a marvelous job of causing us to doubt our security, to doubt our forgiveness, to doubt our closeness. Anybody ever doubt? I'm going to ask for a show of hands again, because I think I may be the only one. Yep, I'm the only one. No. You ever doubt? Satan is a master at this. I doubt. I feel distant from God, and I don't feel close anymore, and I start doubting. And it's based on my feelings and my emotion rather than on the truth of the gospel. Even when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And we can walk around as Christians condemning ourselves all the time. And yet, the gospel truth is, God is greater than our heart. How close is Christ in you? What are you doing to get closer? Tell me your recipe. I got to know. How close is Christ in you and you in Him? 1 John 1, verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect. Remember what the sacrifice was about. You read in Hebrews, what the sacrifice was about is they were trying to be made perfect through the sacrifice of animals. And it says by one offering, Hebrews 10:10, it says by one offering, He made perfect those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's the objective, to be made perfect. Now listen, I know our behavior is not perfect. I still have a carnal mind. I still have carnal emotions and worldly. I have a body and a flesh that still lives here on planet Earth. This earthly shell is still carnal. It's not eternal. My mind, my will, emotions, that's not eternal yet. That's why Paul keeps talking about, you guys need to renew your minds. You need to start getting up here what's already happened in here. Amen? Confidence. This is one thing, just to be honest with you, this is one thing that I see a lot of Christians not having. And I think we've been trained that way, to not be able to be confident in our salvation or in our security or in God and who He is and what He's done to us. And along with that confidence becomes this contagion. We become contagious, right? The world sees this confidence that we have in our hope in Christ, and it becomes contagious. And then others want to be like us. Guys, they were converting by the thousands in the face of persecution and death and torture. How is that possible? Because something was different about their message than what ours is, I think. Maybe something was different that they were carrying around and presenting to people than what we are. How is it possible that in the face of persecution and death and torture, that you were willing to put your life on the line, be drugged from your home, and tortured, stoned, burned at the stake, and yet they were converting by the thousands? Help me understand this. Help me. Their message was the key. It was the gospel. It was the message itself. Rather, here's what I see. I see Christians wondering, am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? I've done this before, but they walk around like this with these blinders on, saying, am I okay? God, am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay? Am I okay, God? And they can't see anyone else around them They can't see that person in need. They can't see that person who needs encouragement. They can't see that person who needs a hug or somebody put their arm around them and tell them it's okay. Because Satan has convinced us that we're not okay with God. That we're not right with God. That we're not good enough. We're not doing enough. We'll never be enough. We need to serve more. We need to do more. And it paralyzes us. It paralyzes us. This is not the invitation. There is therefore no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who believe are not condemned, but those who don't believe are condemned already. God is shouting from the rooftops that you are right because He has made you right. By one man's obedience, many were made righteous. One man. God is looking to the one man. And God wants you and I to look to the one man. Not this man, the one man. It has to be about Him. It's all about Him. Amen? So how can we be confident? How? It says to be confident. That we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Going before God in the day of judgment, that we can be confident. And He wants to give us this confidence now, here, while we're walking around on planet Earth, because He doesn't want us to live this life of dread. Gosh, I can't, I don't know. I'm so dreading the day that I gotta meet God. Because we're thinking, remember what it says, perfect love casts out fear. No need to fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. Well, guess what? The punishment has already taken place, hasn't it? 2,000 years ago. So it paralyzes us. Do you see why we have trouble being thankful? If we don't read the Scripture and interpret it correctly. How can we be confident? Because in this world, we are like Jesus. Not in the next world, in this world. Right now, how are we like Jesus? We're children of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with Him. That's what gives us confidence. We can be confident in that. This is what we should be proclaiming everywhere we go, among all believers, who we are in Christ. This will bring an attitude and a true heart of thankfulness. In this world, we are like Christ. We're like Jesus. We are children of God, heirs and joint heirs. God does not show favoritism, and He treats us as equals with His Son, Jesus. That's not heresy. That's Bible. Amen? Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Rooted up. Built up. Built up. Built up. I did a whole sermon series called Built Up. Strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Is that you? Is that you that has thankfulness just overflowing, running out of you, oozing out of you? This thankfulness that is contagious, this thankfulness that is just overwhelming? Don't do it too much because it might get on somebody's nerves. But just as you received Christ as Lord, this is, why should we be thankful? This in this verse here, it's telling us why. It's giving you the genuine reason for your thankfulness. What's motivating this thankfulness? Just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Do you remember how you received Christ as Lord? Many of you, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Who's been a Christian the longest in here? Anybody know? Miss Marlene? How long have you been a Christian? You got to get a calculator out. Carry the one. Anybody been a Christian longer than that? Do you remember how you received Christ? Was it by your great behavior or your perfect obedience or your supernatural commitment? Is that what you brought him? How did you receive him? You received Christ as Lord by faith, didn't you? It's by faith. Faith in what? Faith in your obedience? Faith in your commitment? Faith in your perfect behavior? No. No, faith in his perfect life. Amen? Faith in his perfect obedience by the obedience of the one. Amen? By his commitment, his steady hand. That's when you got saved. That's how you got saved. That's how you came to him. That's how you received him. So we are to continue to live our lives in him, to continue to live our lives by faith, a life of faith. Just as you received him, so continue to walk in him every day. Daily Christian living is exactly the same as when you received him. There's not some super Christian recipe here. It's you received him by faith, and you're depending on him every day, step by step, in faith. The same way you received him, so walk in him, so continue in him. Look at the result if we can just get our minds to accept what's happened already in our heart. Look at the results here. We're overflowing with thankfulness. Why? Why? Because it's not about dead religious works. It's not about us keeping a bunch of rules. It's not about a bunch of principles. It's about a person. It's all about faith in a person. And the invitation is to come to a person. The invitation is not to come to church. The invitation is not to come to an establishment or a building or even a book. The invitation is to come to me, he said. The invitation is come to a person. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then finally, verse 8 in Colossians 2. This is a warning. Mike, I'm going to have you come up. This is a warning. In verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy," although it sounds really tempting, "which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." Note that it is spiritual. It does appear to be spiritual. But they're base. They're elemental. It's elementary. They're down here. They're down here. Don't be deceived. There'll be those who try to come and tell you that faith alone and Christ alone is just not quite enough. And that you need to have a little more. They'll try to convince you to add some sort of religious work to Jesus, a spinoff, so to speak. Otherwise, God's holding out on you. He's going to hold out on you until you receive this gift or until you do this work. And then God won't hold out on you. Don't fall for it. They might seem super spiritual, but they're only elementary. They're base and elementary. All that you need for life and godliness is found in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's in a person. I invite you this morning. Maybe you have lost all reason to be thankful. Maybe you are in such a bind financially. Maybe you are struggling with your health. Maybe you are just depressed. Maybe you don't know why you would be thankful. I hope this morning that you've seen as a Christian, there's a bigger picture than the circumstance that you're in right now. And you're not defined by your circumstance. Circumstance is not an indicator of what God thinks of you. Many would believe that. Many teach that. You don't have enough faith, or you're not given enough, or you just need to name it and claim it. That's not the gospel. That's human effort, and that's a letdown. Christ is enough, isn't he? Isn't he enough? Amen. We should be thankful for the simple gospel message of faith alone and Christ alone. Stand as we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence humbly I bow.
Do you see why Christians should be the most thankful people on the planet? Do you see why God solved this problem? Why he's got this? It's all about him. We are totally and completely dependent on him, not just for salvation, but also for daily living. Our Christian living is completely dependent on Christ. Amen. Brother Todd, would you dismiss us?